All right, so we are holding on Samach Dalad on the days just past the Mishnah. So to recap, the Mishnah had told us, we were talking about the din of Dam Besulin, where you have the first time or the first couple of times that a woman has relations, there's going to be bleeding from Besulin having been torn. And so we had in the Mishnah three different distinctions about three different possible cases. One was where the girl is below the age where she would usually be having periods. So then we said that Shammai says that we allow 4 nights, any bleeding during those 4 nights we attribute to the Besulim. Any after that we say is already that she's starting Dam Nida. Besulim said until the wound heals, and we'll see in the Gemara how we know at what point it's healed. Second case was where she's of age to start having periods, but she hasn't yet. She's 12 already, but she hasn't actually started menstruating yet. Then Bais Shammai says she only has the first full night. So that full night, they can have relations as many times as they want, but after that, if she bleeds, then we're going to consider her nida. Bais Shammai says you give her 4 nights up till Matzoi Shabbos. Usually women would get married on Wednesday. On Wednesday, so in this house, the MRV, so Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Matzoi Shabbos. And we'll see in the Gemara, though, that strictly speaking, it's not actually 4 nights in a row. It could be 4 nights spread out over a long period of time, and the soul would still say it counts. If, let's say, for example, you could have, let's say they had relations the first time, and then let's say he went out of town and then came back sometime later, and they did it the second time, so we're not necessarily...
But anywhere until Matzah Shabbos?
No, that's the point. In other words, okay, the soul is saying until Matzah Shabbos just as a simon, because practically speaking, usually, I mean, Shana to Shana, the husband is not traveling out of town without his wife. So practically speaking, usually they have during all those 4 nights they're together, and they could be having relations. But as we're going to see in the Gemara, we're going to give an example where we have a case history where we actually have somebody who only had the first four times with his wife was spread out over a period of many months. Because he had the first time, then he was away, then he came back, then whatever. Yeah.
And that's mutter, cool.
It's mutter, right? It's not.
No, I'm saying about it's a weird situation that we have to worry about.
So that's what we're going to see in the Gemara, that Rebbe held that it's fine. We're going to discuss that in a minute. The third case we said is, what if the girl was not only old enough to be having periods, but she actually has already had them before she got married, which of course is usually the case nowadays. You know, a woman gets married nowadays, she's already been having periods before. So then Bais Shammai says that they can only do it the first time, and after that, any bleeding after that first time has to be a possibility of dam nida. And Bais Shammai says they have the entire night, which means they can have relations as many times as they want during that first night. We'll see in the Gemara eventually after we get through a whole sugya about it, we'll get to what the actual halacha is. So the Gemara starts off, Omer of Nachum Reitz, Afilu Rosa. The first case of the Mishnah, when we said that she's not of age yet to be having periods, so we said that Bais Shammai says 4 nights and Bais Shammai says until it heals, Rav Nachman Reitz is saying this would apply even if she did actually have periods before she got married. In other words, the normal age a woman or girl starts having periods is usually around 12. So let's say she got married at 10, 11, or whatever. She's below the age where she would usually be having periods. But sometimes you have. Some girls start early. Some girls start 8, 9, whatever. So let's say you have this girl got married at a younger age, below 12. She's already been having periods, but the fact is she's below the normal age for having them. So Rav Nachman Reis Chok says that the rule of the first case of our Mishnah would apply where Bais Shammai would say that you don't just give her 4 nights, you have until Achitichya Amata, until the wound heals. She's already been having periods, and you would think, therefore, we have to be concerned about Dam Nida. Rav Nachman Reis Chok says no. Mimai, where do we see that? Because in the second and third parts of the Mishnah, it distinguishes when she is of age, when she's 12 or older, whether she previously had periods or not. But in the first part, it didn't make any such distinction whether she actually had periods or not. We see from that, says Rav Nachman Reis Chok, that in the Reisha it doesn't matter. Even because she's below the age, even if she has actually been having periods, then nevertheless, we can still say that the rule applies that she has 4 nights to Achitichya Amaka, according to Bais Shammai or Bais Shammai. She's been having periods, doesn't matter because she is below age, and therefore the fact that she had periods, one here, one there, or whatever, we consider, okay, it's a fluke. It's not necessarily something made. Tani Nami Hochi, in fact, we learn like that in a Braisa, the Sibyl Om Achitichya Amaka, Bain Rasa, Bain Loi Rasa, the Sibyl says she has until the wound heals, whether previously she's had periods or not. So therefore, that's it. So that's what it is. Yeah, Tosfos HaRosh points out the reason is also given that we see that when loy rasa we're more makel versus rasa, then it's not logical to say that rasa v'oyde b'vesavir, the third case of the Mishnah, should be referring back to the previous two, whether she's below age or above age, because then the Mishnah wouldn't flow then. Then the Mishnah wouldn't flow, because then you would say because then we should have a distinction. Then we should have a distinction between when she's below age, whether rasa or not. The fact that the Mishnah makes no such distinction is what the Gemara is saying. Is therefore so there is in fact no such distinction. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah ad shetifya hamaka. We said until the wound heals. Then we the Sibyl says in the case of this underage girl again that until the wound heals, then we don't consider it dam nida. We consider it dam sulam, and therefore she's mutter to her husband. So
even
if she had periods before, as Rav Nachman had said, right. So ad kama, up to what point do we say that? When do we know, in other words, that it fully healed? Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav calls manshin necheres. So Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav until necheres. Now, what does necheres mean? There's a couple of possibilities. It can be related to a word for making noise, and some of the Rishonim learn that way, that it means like when it's still hurting, and therefore like she makes noise when they're having relations, because bark is hurting her. The Meiri says it's related to a word meaning friction, like the walls of the rechem are still rubbing one against the other, or whatever. Okay. Kiyam Rita Kameh Shmuel. So Rabbi Yehuda says, when I told this over to Shmuel, we find throughout Shas that Rabbi Yehuda was a Talmud of Rav, and then after Rav passed away, he went to learn by Shmuel. So he would always be telling over Shmuel things that Rav had taught while Rav was alive. So now, when he said, when I told over this din to Shmuel, Omerli, Shmuel says, Nechira, do any day mahi. What's this Nechira? What kind of a definition is that? Ella, Rabbi Yehuda had been a Talmud of Rav, and then after Rav passed away, he became a Talmud by Shmuel. So he would regularly regularly tell over to Shmuel things that Rav had said. So in this case, he says over this that Rav had said, called Manshin Echeres, and when he said it over to Shmuel, Amali Nechira do any Adeya Mahi. I don't know, what's this Nechira? What kind of a definition is that? Ella, called Manshin Echeres, as long as the saliva is in the mouth, because of tashmish, which is a euphemism, saliva meaning blood, and mouth meaning the vagina. So as long as there is blood there because of tashmish, then we can attribute it. Then we can attribute it to the wound. That's still healing. So mechira de kama rab hechidami. Okay, so we do have to define what exactly does Rav mean by when he said I call manchene cheres. What exactly is the definition of that? Amr of Shmuel Bar Yitzchok, Ludidi Mifalshali Minei Rav. Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok says that Rav personally explained to me what it is like this. Oymedes V'roya, suppose that when the woman is standing, then blood flows. Yeshevet V'ein Roya, but then if she sits down, then it stops. Then we know that the wound is not yet healed, because the fact that it changes depending whether she's standing or sitting means that it has to do with still that the wound is still open, there's still friction or whatever.
So obviously she could feel when she feels it.
Well, she feels it's flowing. Right? Also, Algabe Kaukava Roya, also even within sitting itself, there can be a distinction. If she's sitting on the bare ground and then she sees a flow, Algabe Koramuksos is Veina Roya, but then when she sits on pillows or cushions, on something soft, then she doesn't see blood. Then we know that the wound hasn't healed yet, because again, the fact that it makes a difference whether she's sitting on something hard versus something soft means that it depends whether, you know, how wide open the it is over there, and therefore, you know, whether there's friction. But if regardless of what she sits on, there's still a flow of blood, or there isn't a flow of blood, then at that point we know that the wound has healed, and then at that point we know that any blood after that is going to be damaged. So that's what the Sibyl says when they said Ad-shikir-shamaka, that's what they mean. What we're saying is there's two possibilities. Either she stops seeing blood altogether, or she continuously sees blood, whether she's standing or sitting, or whether she's standing up sitting on something hard or soft or whatever. That would also be dam nida. Actually, Tosfos mentioned dam nida. No. Then at that point, no, because if it's dam basulim, we would expect that it's going to change depending whether she's standing or sitting, or depending whether she's sitting on something hard or soft or whatever, because that'll affect how wide open it is.
Okay.
So if it continues flowing, no matter whether she's standing or sitting, or says sitting on something hard or soft, then it is then it is dominating. Actually, Tosfos says that maybe actually in at least one of these cases, we could say that that when we say that if she has blood, regardless what she sits on, Tosfos says maybe it doesn't mean we know for a fact that it's damnida, but at least there's a very strong supposition that there is. As opposed to if she sits on something hard versus soft, and that makes a difference, then we know it's definitely not chayis amaka. We know that it definitely hasn't healed, and therefore Basila will say it's still damnasor.
In this case, where he's continuous bleeding, but she still has, she's allowed 4 days, does that change?
No, so that's the thing. Basila was saying that Bichamai said 4 days. Basila said adjitichi amaka.
You don't know if it's chayis because it could be needed to start it.
Right, okay, so, but we're talking about a girl that's underage. So therefore, she doesn't, right, she's talking about the first case of the Mishnah where she's underage. So actually, you're right. I mean, Mefarshim do point out that Basila is not going to be machmir over Bishamai. If it's within 4 days, you're still going to assume that it's, you're still going to assume that it's dam b'sulim. Only if it's after 4 days, that's when you have the machlokas. Okay, fine. Then we said, then we said in the Mishnah, Higiyas Manu Chola. We have the second case of the Mishnah where she is of age to have periods, but she hasn't yet started having them. So then Bishamai says she only has the first night, and Basila says 4 nights. So let's talk about those 4 nights. Itmar, Shim Shiba Yomim. What happens if they don't just have relations during the night? What if they have relations during the day? Rav Omer Loi Hifsida Leilos. So Rav says she doesn't thereby lose the nights because of that. In other words, Rav says 4 nights. It doesn't mean only nights. It means the entire 4 24-hour period. The Levi Omer Hifsida Leilos. Levi says that no, she does lose the nights. In other words, Levi is going to say, as the Gemara is going to say in a minute, that it's that 4 nights of a year means 4 oinos. And Oina, we said before, means 12 hours. So therefore, she has 4 12-hour periods during which we assume that it's still Dam B'Sulim. So if she uses up one of those 12-hour periods during the day, okay, well, then it's used up. And then you subtract it from the total. Later on, Sylvia Toshkoff has a bit of a different explanation about the machlokas over here. It has to do with if there was blood during the Oina after they had relations, do we assume that it counts as Dam Nida or Dam B'Sulim? Okay. Anyway, Rav says she still doesn't lose the nights because Ad Motzei Shabbos. We said up to Motzei Shabbos, meaning the entire time from Wednesday until Shabbos, by day and by night. It doesn't make a difference, no matter how many times they do it. The Levi Omer Hifsida Leilos, Levi says she does lose the nights because my Arba Leilos Tikotani, Arba Oinus, because he says 4 nights means 4 oinus. So out of, from when she gets married on Wednesday, from then to Motzei Shabbos, there are 8 oinus, Wednesday day, Wednesday night, Thursday day, Thursday night, et cetera, et cetera. So, essentially, Levi says you can pick any 4 oinus of those, right? Okay, so the question is, well, the Rav, long live Mishnah Arba Leilos. Okay, then according to Rav, why did he mention 4 nights? It should say 4 days. The answer is Orach Ara Kamash Malon. The Mishnah wants to tell us the proper way of doing things, the Daiko to be a Belelis, the proper time to do Bia is at night. In fact, we learned in the second paragraph that technically, Rabbi Halacha, you're not supposed to do it by day, except we said over there, Tamat Chacham, there's an exception, Ma'apo, but Halisa. We said a regular person, even when it's by day, even if it's dark by day, they're not supposed to. A Tamat Chacham can darken the window with a palace, and then, the Ula Levi, listening Arba Leilos. So according to Levi, we can say why it's fine. It has to say 4 nights because according to him, it has to say 4 nights. Fine, because according to him, same thing. It's supposed to be that you have relations by night. Ad Motzei Shabbos Lomeli. But according to Levi, why bother mentioning until Motzei Shabbos, which is what Rav is using to say that it means both by day and by night. The answer is Hakamash Malon. Levi would say the Mishnah wants to inform us of a din. By the way, the husband is allowed to have relations with his wife on Shabbos. L'chatchila means even the first time. Now, we're not necessarily talking about the first time over here because we're talking about they got married on Wednesday and now we're up to Friday night. The actual halacha is, Tosfos points out, really in our Gemara, it's not necessary to be to say l'chatchila, and in fact, Rashi doesn't have that in his Girsah, it's not really relevant whether it's l'chatchila or not. Tosfos says, the Gemara mentions l'chatchila, because the fact of the matter is the halacha is even, let's say, they got married on Friday, you are allowed to do the initial Bilaf Mitzvah on Friday. What is it? Kiddush Shmuel. Like what Shmuel says. The Omer Shmuel. Shmuel says it in Pirtzah D'Chuka Mutar Likanes Baba Shabbos. If you have a narrow gap in a wall, in a fence, or whatever, you're allowed to squeeze through it on Shabbos, but apple pisha mashu through it, even though it may happen that you knock off little bits of the wall, little pebbles from the wall, nevertheless it's mutter because it's not a psik resha, it's not inevitable that you're going to. And therefore it's mutter. So the same thing over here. You're allowed to have relations. I may cause her to bleed. It may cause it may or may not, but it's not necessarily going to. And therefore and therefore you're allowed to. It's not considered a psychoratia and you're allowed to.
In general, I mean, Chum used to do Friday nights.
So that's once they've been married a long time, right? Their regular owner is Friday night. Here we're not talking about that. Here we're talking about the first couple of times because it takes time until it becomes Pesach Pasuach, until it becomes as we said before, you have a period of time where it takes where meanwhile she bleeds. But nevertheless, the point is that it's allowed. It's not considered choivel. It's not considered because of tsar, and therefore it's allowed. So that's what the Mishnah wants to tell us, says Levi, by saying that they're allowed up to Motze Shabbos, meaning even though you're talking, even though that includes Friday night, nevertheless it's Motze.
Right, because that's what the percentage of bleeding is, like 85%.
Nevertheless, it's still not a psik resha.
Okay.
Mind you, actually, the Bach brings that in his times, in his places, the minhag became not to have relations the first time Friday night, but the Taz says and a number of the Achronim say that don't follow any such minhag. You want to maybe a chosid, then fine, do it for yourself, but definitely don't go saying to other people that So now we have a discussion on the topic like this. Bovle Motsadam. What happens? The husband has relations with his wife the first time, and there was no blood. V'chazer Bovle Motsadam. Then the next time they had relations within the first 4 nights, then there was blood. What happens? Rav Chanina Amatzmeya v'Rav Asi Amatzahara. So Rav Chanina says she's going to be Tomei. Obviously, it's got to be Damnida. Rav Asi is going to say she's Tahar. Rav Chanina Amatzmeya, he says, im isadava dam besulim, because if it was dam besulim, mi ikra ava ofi, then it would have come the first time. The fact that it didn't means that it's dam nida. Even if it starts whipping. Rav Asi Amatahora, Rav Asi says, we can still say she saw her, dilma isrami leki de Shmuel, because maybe it happened that the husband had relations in the way that Shmuel describes. The Amar Shmuel, we find a Gemara where Shmuel says, we have this earlier in Amar Sech, actually, Yecholi Livo Kama Be'ilis B'loy Dam. He says, I am able to have many relations without any blood coming out. There's a certain way of entering, where bypassing, but going in on an angle, where it doesn't hit the Besulim, and therefore doesn't cause them to rip. So therefore, so it's possible that happened this time, and therefore not necessarily that there was no blood the first time proves anything. The Idach, where's Rav Chanina? What answer to that? Shiny Shmuel, the Rav Gubrei. Yeah, different when it comes to Shmuel. He has tremendous knowledge of this kind of thing. Doesn't mean that the average, he's not the average person doesn't have that kind of expertise. Okay. Omer Rav. Okay, here's another din. Rav says, now up until now, we talked about in the Mishnah, we had the three cases, one where she's below age, one where she's of age but hasn't yet started having regular periods, and the third one where she actually has started having regular periods. Now, what about, though, all that is the Pashtos, all of that may only be talking about up until and including the point where she's a Naira. A Naira is where she first develops Shteisiris, which is typically around 12 years old.
So 12 and a half, right?
Well, half a year later, as the Gemara is going to mention soon, 6 months later, she becomes a Begeris. Right. We actually had earlier in the Masechta, on Daf Mem Zayin, it talked about the simonim of a Naira versus a Begeris. You have the simon atachton, the lower simonim involving hair, the upper simonim involving breast development or whatever. Yeah, but there's 6 months between one and the other. So Omerav Begeris Noisin Lalila Harishin. So Rav says, if the girl is already a Begeris, 12 and a half or older, or strictly speaking, half a year after Shteisiris, whatever age Shteisiris come at, then Noisna Laila Harishin, we give her the first night and no more than that. Because, in other words, he would say, the Sibyl is saying you give her 4 days, that's a Naira. But once she's a Begeris, she's older than that, then already it's more likely that she's going to have Damnida, and therefore you only give her the first night. Vahani Mili Shalei Rasa, and that would only apply if she didn't previously have periods. Right? Yeah, remember. Avol Rasa, but he says if she has been having periods, Eila Ela Be'ilas Mitzvah, the Tuloi. Then you only have the Be'ilas Mitzvah, then you can only do it the first time, the one time, and then that's it.
Even though they work it out with the college, because they do, they make sure that...
Yes, we're in the end, at the end of the sugya, we're going to talk about the actual halacha in this, we're not at that point yet, but yeah. By the way, the reason why the first time is called Be'ilas Mitzvah, there's a number of explanations. Tosfos mentions, there's a Tosfos in Ksubas that mentions the idea, because it creates the first bond of intimacy between them. You have a Gemara in some places that mentions Eino Isha Teresus Bris Elol Mishah Sar Kli, that a woman like has a certain closeness, a certain mental closeness with the one who first made her a Keli to be able to have children, namely the one who had relations with her first. And therefore, so there's a Be'ilas Mitzvah over here, creates that intimacy, creates that bond. That's what told me to say. So I'm going to say, maybe I have a contradiction to Rav. You're telling me that once she's a begeris, then you only have the one time. But here was the case, Mice of the Nosson La Rebbe, Arba Leilis Mitzvah Yud Beis Chodesh. It happened once, a woman got married, and Rebbe allowed that the first four times they had relations were spread out over a 12-month period, and Rebbe said all those four times, the bleeding can be attributed to Dam Besolim and not Dam Nida. So we have to figure out, hey, Chidami, what's the scenario over here? Ilema diyarv lakula b'mekatnus. Are we talking about that all these four times the entire year was before she became a Naira? Well, then you don't need only 4 days. Ad shetichi amakatnan. We said in the Mishnah that the Hillel said, and of course the halacha is like the Hillel against the Shammai, that she has until the wound heals. So what kind of 4 nights? In other words, as Mashmah, if they had relations 5 times, or 5 different nights or whatever, then Rebbe would have said no good. You have to consider her a Nida. But if she's a Kana, then you have much more than that. You have as much as you need until it heals.
Mostly, if it's 4 times the whole year, it heals the first time.
Maybe not. But the point is that nevertheless, why are we mentioning specifically 4 nights? Ella de Yoav Lakula Bimei Nairus. So are we talking about that all 4 times are during that time of Nairus? Can't be. Nairus Yud Beis Chodesh Mi'ika. There's no such thing as Nairus lasting 12 months. Shmuel tells us a rule that from when she becomes a Naira until she becomes a Begeret is only 6 months. Now you might say maybe what Shmuel means is maybe what it means is it can never be less than 6 months, but maybe Shmuel means 6 months is the minimum, but it could conceivably be more than that. No. Shmuel is saying only, meaning it's exactly that. No more, no less than 6.
In
Teresh B'Chsav, it doesn't say anything at all. In Teresh B'Chsav, you don't even have the word Begeres. You have the word Naira in a bunch of places in Torah, but you never have the word Begeres, as far as I know. It is. It's exactly 6 months. No more, no less. So you can't have 12 months during your main Nairus. Ella, so let's say then, so you're going to say maybe what it is out of these 4 times, 2 of them were when she was a Katana, 2 of them were when she was a Naira. So let's say, in other words, as the Gemara is going to mention soon, that for example, they were spread out months apart. So you have, let's say, there were the first time she was a Katana, the second time she was also a Katana, the third and fourth time she was already a Naira, because you have 6 months. You have 6 months that she's a Naira. So you can have the last 2 times can be when she's a Naira. Which are during the 6 months. The problem with that is, we find that Rav Chinin of Ashlamia asked the question on this from Rav. The question was, what happens, in the Mishnah we're talking about the case, she gets married when she's underage, when she's of age, etc. What happens if she reaches the age of having periods when she's already married? So now, we said that if she's a Katana, you have until the wound heals. We said if she's already of the age to start having periods, then she has 4 nights. So what happens if she reaches that age after they're already married? So they already had relations 1 or 2 times while she was a Katana. Now she becomes a Naira. Now she turns 12. And now they're continuing to have relations. How many times does she have that we can consider that Dam Besolim? Amarle, and Rav answers him. What it is like this. Kol Be'ilas Sha'at Boil. All the times that you have relations with her. Ein and Ela La'achas V'meikatnos. You only can, Ein and Ela Achas. It counts as only one. V'asham Ashlim and Ladao Be'ilas. And then the rest count towards the 4. In other words, that she got married sometime before she was 12. They had relations. It could be any number of times. It could be a dozen times or whatever. All of that counts only as 1. Then once she hits 12 years old, then you have 3 more times. For total, in other words, there's a total of four, but it comes out a total of much more than four. But all the ones that were done while she was below 12 years old are counted as if they were only one. So the point is, therefore, so you can't have in the case where Rebbe is paskening for this couple over here, you can't say they had two when she was a kana and one and two when she was a naira, because according to the rule we just said, it, the two that were a kana would count as only one. Then there would be three more available, and we're saying there was a total of four. Ella, so no, let's try like this. So evidently, by elimination, it has to be there was only one when she was a kana, two when she was a naira, and one when she was a beggar. Because Bapashlis, that's the only way we can make it spread out over, the Gemara is assuming at this point, to have it spread out over a year. That's the only way to do it. So now, if we understand the Braisa that way, now we have a problem with Rab.
Why couldn't it be twice when she was a kana?
Because we said twice when she was a kana would count as if it was only one.
Oh,
no. So, right. We could answer, and then the Gemara is going to end up answering, that it didn't necessarily have to, Tosfos also discusses it over here, it doesn't necessarily have to be that they were spread an equal distance apart. I mean, you could have, let's say, one when she was a kana, and then you have, like, you know, 9 months later, then you have, you know, three more while she's at naira, all within a month apart from each other, and therefore you wind up, you know, so you could have three while she's a naira. The Gemara could have done that, but the Gemara wants to assume that they're spread out a little more evenly. If we assume that one was when she was a kana, two when she was a naira, one when she was a begeres, if we say that usually a begeres gets to have more than just the first time, well then, so what happens? The fact that she was a kana first and now she turns a naira. We said the fact that she was a kana first is effective. L'miv t'lachoda, it subtracts one, because we said that all the ones when she was a kana are counted as one, and then you have three more to go. Ahani nami nairus l'bagrus, the same thing. The fact that she transitioned during this period from nairus to bagrus, the 6 months to pass, and now she's a begeres, that helps l'miv t'lachoda, that you can say that it subtracts one. He would say, in other words, that he would say that usually, let's say, a begeris would have two nights, and in this case, then she's left with one. But if you say that even in general, Rav is saying that any begeris you only give her be'ilas mitzvah and you only give her be'ilas mitzvah and no more, or if she hasn't had re'ias yet, then you give her only the one time. Then in this case, you should only be allowing her the Be'ilas Mitzvah, not strictly speaking Be'ilas Mitzvah, because it's not the first time anymore, but whatever, in other words, it's one time, and no more than that. So why are we saying that he's allowing a fourth night, which is all that night? You should only be allowed one beer at that point.
Point two, like we learned like 2 hours behind, there's a possibility that, by Kitana, we said it could be three times as compared to one.
That's when she's a Kitana.
And by Geras also, now we said that it could be twice or three times.
No, so what we're saying is like this. We're saying that like this, suppose she gets married as a Begeras, how many times does she have? Does she have more than one night? Does she have one night? Or does she have, even within that one night, only one Be'ilah, and then they're not even allowed to have a second Be'ilah? Rav is saying that, depends. If she had re'ias previously, then one night. If she didn't have re'ias previously, then she has one entire night. If she had re'ias previously, then they only have be'ilas mitzvah one time. So why, in our case, of Rebbe, once we're assuming that the fourth time out of these 12 months is taking place when she's a begeres, why is Rebbe allowing an entire night? Shouldn't we say the fact that there were already previous be'ilas while she was a kana and a naira subtract from that, and all we're left with is be'ilas mitzvah? So why are you allowing her an entire night? And he's saying he allowed her four nights out of 12, implying that even that fourth night they had relations many times. And right, according to Rab, that shouldn't work. The answer is la'olam diyarz la'achas b'me'katnus v'gimol v'nairus. We could, after all, assume, like we said before, that it was one when she was a kana and three when she was a naira, which is four. And therefore, by the time she comes to being a begeres, then there's nothing left. So therefore, so this case is not relevant to Rav's din. Mi sabra kol plosa yavchi chada oina. You're assuming that it was spread out evenly, that every 3 months there was one oina, there was one period when they were together, not necessarily. You could have the last three times were only 2 months apart. You could have, in other words, they had relations the one time, then he went away for 8 or 9 months or whatever, or six months or whatever, then he came back, she's a naira, and now they had relations three times, each one 2 months apart. So they all fit during the Yemei Nairus, because Yemei Nairus lasts for 6 months. And therefore, so we don't have to assume, as we were before, that they're all spread out evenly. They could have been uneven. You had a longer break between the first one and the other three, and then relatively shorter breaks between the other. But everything was still before she was a Begeris, right? Before Begeris, and therefore it's not relevant to Rav Din. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara tells a case. Min Yamin Saksana have a shock of Ozil after the Shmuel. Min Yamin Saksana. Saxon, the Pashas means the place he comes from. The Rashash says maybe it's Saxony in Germany. Maybe he came all the way from Germany to Buffalo. He's mentioned in other places in chat, yeah. Anyway, have a shock of Ozil after the Shmuel. He was one time traveling to where Shmuel lived, which is in Nahaga. Sovel Mevad Ubdak have a say the Rab Afila Rosa. He thought to paskin, like what Rav says, that a begeret has the entire first night, even if rasa, even if she's previously had periods. Now, we said before that Rav makes the distinction that you have the first night, she has the entire first night only if not rasa, but if rasa, then she only has one ve'ilas mitzvah, right? Minyamin wanted to say that Rav is saying that it applies across the board. Now, you have a machlokas rishonim over here between Tosfos and the Rashba. What was, we're going to say that Minyamin was making a mistake, but what was his mistake exactly? Is it that the distinction that we made with Tosfos learns, that the distinction we made before is actually Rav himself made that distinction? So therefore, the problem is between whether Rasa or not. So therefore, if Minyamin is trying to say that Rav said that even if Rasa, she has the entire first night, then that's wrong because Rav never said that. And therefore, as Gemara is going to say, Shmuel criticized it for that. The Rashba learns not necessarily. It may be that Rav said a blanket statement that a Begeret has the entire first night. The Gemara, the sum of the Gemara, is the one that made the distinction between Rasa and not Rasa. But nevertheless, then, Minyamin is still, Rav himself might hold of that distinction, and he just didn't make it clear. He left it for the Chachmei Gemara to make it clear, and therefore Minyamin misunderstood him. Also, we're going to say at the end of the Sugya that the halacha is that you only have Be'ilas Mitzvah the one time anyway, so in that case, the Minyamin is wrong according to that anyway. Yeah. So, Omar, because Minyamin said, like Poligra ben Rasa ben Lai Rasa. He says Rav doesn't make a distinction between Rasa and not. Again, according to Tosfos, he's completely wrong on that, because Rav actually did make that distinction. According to the Rashba, he might have theoretically been correct, because Rav didn't say that distinction, but nevertheless, Rav did actually hold of it. What happened was, Kodim Shochiv Ba'urcha. What happened was, Minyamin passed away while he was on the way before he ever got to Shmuel. Kori Shmuel alei de Rav, so Shmuel applied the pasuk to Rav, as it says in the pasuk, well, yo'une la tzadik kol oven, nothing bad ever happens to the tzadik. In other words, you, Rav, being a tzadik, Hashem didn't allow that Minyamin should end up misinterpreting or misunderstanding you and passing wrongly in your name. And therefore, Hashem caused him to pass away before he got here.
Well,
so in other words, Minyamin, according to Tosfos, Minyamin misunderstood Rav. He thought that Rav had not made distinction when in fact Rav had. According to the Rashba, he just took Rav's statement at face value. He didn't consider the distinction that the Chachmei HaGemara made. Either way, the point is that it's a misinterpretation of what Rav's in.
I remember somebody raised something to this story.
So you have on that side of here, it brings in the Thuris Hashas, you bring cases in Yevamos and in Cholin. So in Cholin, we had a case that didn't involve somebody passing away, but it did involve somebody trying to pass in a din, where it turned out that they misinterpreted and came out that they were corrected before they actually passed in practically. Not in that one, I think in Yevamos there is, yeah. Okay. All right. Since we mentioned in the sugya a question that Rabbi Chinin Bar Shlamya asked Rav, this din of what happens if while they're married she becomes a naira, so therefore the Gemara digresses a second to mention another thing, a piece of agadah that Rabbi Chinin Bar Shlamya said in the name of Rav. Also, there's another explanation that we were talking about the distinctions of what happens with a girl, what happens, the changes that happen in a girl as she gets older. So the Gemara is going to give another example of a change that happens to a person as they get older. When a person's teeth fall out because he's old, his food, his parnasa, becomes less. It's harder for him to make a living. An older person has a harder time making parnasa. You have a pasuk. Gam anoichi nasati lach, or ani nasati lachem is actually how it says in the pasuk. Gam, the Navi says, and the Amos says to the Jewish people in Hashem's name, I have also given you nikyon shinayim b'chol areichem. Nikyon shinayim literally means, some of the Mepharshim on the pasuk say it means cleansing, it means clean teeth. Others say that it means blunted teeth. Takei shinav by the Rasha and Agada. Either way, it means a lack of food, b'chol areichem, in all your cities, v'choyso lechem, b'chol mekameseichem, and a lack of food in all your places. In other words, in context, the pasuk is saying, the Navi is telling them, you should know, because you're worshipping Avodah Zarah and doing different other Averis, therefore Hashem caused it. You have no food, and therefore, like, your teeth are on edge, or your teeth are clean, like, there's no food in them. But because the pasuk phrases it that way, and then we learn also, once the teeth are like cleaned out of the mouth, so to speak, nikya and shinayim, they're cleaned out, the mouth is cleaned out of teeth, then there's already choysel lechem, and then there's a lack of bread because the person has a harder time making parnasa. What's the relevance of it? Marshall says the relevance of it is a person should make sure not to give away all the nechasim before he passes away. He should keep in mind that he's going to be old, he's going to have a harder time making parnasa, and therefore he should make sure to save something for himself. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says a little differently. It also means the person should be careful to daven that he shouldn't be. He's left without any money when he gets older because he needs extra tefillah for it. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Ros of Oida, we said the third case of the Mishnah was that she started already having periods while she was in her father's house before she got married. Now she got married. So how much time can we consider it dam sulim?
No,
we said at the very beginning of the Gemara, Nachum Yitzchok is saying if she's a katana, then no, this doesn't matter. We're talking about if she's already a nairo or a ger, and she's already had periods in her father's house, then when she gets married, how long does she have to be considered dam b'sulim? But Shammai said only the first be'ila, and Basilo says the entire first night, so they can do it as many times as they want that. So let's talk about that. Turn it up on him. Ross of Oda b'vesavia, so if she previously had periods while she was in her father's house, before she got married, Basilo and Okala Laila Shala, so Basilo says, as they said in the Mishnah, that she has the entire first night, can be considered dam b'sulim, so they can have relations as many times as they want. V'noisnila Oina Shleima. And we grant her an entire oina during which we consider the blood is tahor. The kama oina shleima, how much is a complete oina? Pirusha, but Shimon Gamliel, laila b'chatzi yoim. It means the night plus half of the day. That's what the Gemara is going to ask. Usually an oina means 12 hours. So how all of a sudden are we saying, b'pashas over here, it sounds like it means 18 hours. The night and half of the next daytime sounds like 12 hours of the night plus 6 hours of the day. Where are those 6 hours coming from? So the question is, do you need that much? Since when is an owner that long? Or a mini? I have a contradiction from a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Hareshah you gitav ubeis badav tmeis. Suppose a person's wine press or oil press was tamei. Ubikish lasos matara. He wants to, from now on, be able to prepare wine or oil that will be tamei. So what does he need to do? You have a machlokas rishonim whether he might have to toggle these things, the things that we're going to mention, not necessarily, especially Tosfos discusses over here, that many of them are not actually makabel tumah, because, for example, they're flat wooden boards or other things like that. So as far as tumah v'tahara, there's not an issue of having to toggle them in a mikvah. However, they absorb tumah liquids, and therefore you have to get the tumah liquids out of them. So that's what we're going to discuss. How do you do that? As far as wine, it's also relevant if the wine press has previously been used for yayin nefesh, and now you want to make kosher wine with it. As far as oil, you don't have an issue. No such thing as oil of goyim is not osur, so there it's just a matter of tumah v'tahara. Anyway, so what do you do in order to clean out the various items that are used in the press in order to make it that now the tumah liquids or the yayin nefesh that they absorbed is out, and now you're going to be able to make tahara wine with it? Dafin. So like this, you have the flat boards that you put onto the grapes to press them, v'halulavim and the lulavim, which you use as brooms to sweep up the grapes that are rolling away or whatever, or to clean out the press itself. V'ha'adoshin, and the adoshim. Adoshim literally means lentils. So Rashi explains it means the actual wine press itself, which is shaped like a lentil. Tosfos discusses over here that it may not mean that. It may mean a sort of lentil-shaped weight that you put. You have these boards that you put on top of the grapes to press them, and then you have like a weight that you put on top of that to make the board press down harder and get more wine out. Anyway, those things don't absorb very much wine or oil. Therefore, all you need is madichan. You just need to rinse them. You need to wash them with water.
Doesn't mean press them. I think when you press them, they...
But we're going to say that, yeah. Ha'akolim shel mitzarim. What about then you have the akolim, which are, you have a pile of grapes or olives over there, which you're going to press. If you just press them from the top, what's going to happen? They're all just going to roll out the sides. So you need something around them to hold them in place. Those things, the borders to hold it in place, are called akolim. So it depends. Shel mitzarim, if they're made out of palm fibers, the shel bitzbutz, or if they're made out of bitzbutz, which actually says means hemp. On the side of it here, it brings from the oruch that it means flax. Minagvan, then you need something more. Those absorb more than the first three things we mentioned. Therefore, you need what's called migul, which we learned in Avodah Zarah. It means a whole treatment of them involving ashes and water. It involves washing them with water, scrubbing them with ashes, rinsing off the ashes with more water, and repeating that several, I guess in modern terms it would be like steel wool, but whatever. Yeah. So that's nigul. Shall shifa v'shalgen. We haven't gotten to that yet. Shall shifa v'shalgen. Because in all these things, it absorbed them using cold water. It absorbed them using cold. They're all cold, whether they're all room temperature or whatever, so you don't need hot water necessarily to get it out. So shifa v'shal gemi, if these akolim are made out of shifa or gemi, which are various kinds of papyrus or reeds or grasses or whatever, so those absorb even more. Miyashnan, those you have to leave until they get old. What does it mean, old? The kama miyashnan, yud beis chodesh. You have to leave them 12 months to completely dry out. Reb Shimon Gamliel says you don't necessarily need 12 months. You just have to leave them from one pressing season to the next one. Gas is for grapes. Bad is for olives. So you have, in other words, let's say the pressing season for grapes is, let's say, Elul Tishrei time. So fine. So you leave it from the pressing season until the pressing season of the following year. So the Gemara asks, Hainu Tanakama, isn't Reb Shimon Gamliel saying effectively the same thing as the Tanakama? Now, Tosfos says, what do you mean he's saying the same thing? The Tanakama is saying you need full 12 months. Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying you only need from the end of one pressing season to the beginning of the next pressing season. Whereas the pressing season takes, let's say, 3 weeks, then according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, you don't need full 12 months. You have 3 weeks less than that.
Let's say less good, like you do oil in between.
Huh? No. You only do oil or wine once a year, generally. You only have a crop of olives or a crop of grapes.
First you do it for the wine, and then 6 months later, the season for oil.
You wouldn't use the same ones for wine, because then your wine is going to end up with oil, and then your oil is going to end up with wine. No, they'd be two different things. Okay, so anyway, Tarsus gives a couple of answers. One of them is that the pressing season goes according to the solar year. You don't have, let's say, the pressing season doesn't begin, let's say, Rosh Chodesh Elul. It begins, let's say, September 1st. So the following year, September 1st, is going to be a little bit later in the Jewish year, depending whether it's a leap year or not. So that's one possibility. Tosfos says another possibility is that maybe in fact the Tanakama can't mean full 12 months, because practically speaking, it means you're going to be missing next year's pressing season. If you had to say, let's say for example, you finished your pressing of wine, let's say Erev Rosh Hashanah. And now you're going to say you have to wait full 12 months. Full 12 months is going to bring you to Erev Rosh Hashanah the following year. At that point, the pressing season is over, because the pressing season, let's say, is during Elul. So obviously, therefore, the Tanakama has to mean 12 months from the beginning of the season. And Reb Shimon Gamliel is also saying that. So what's the actual difference? The answer is, Ikabinayu Chaufi Va'afi. The difference is that sometimes you can have it can be a little bit more or a little bit less, because Chaufi means early.
Chaufi doesn't also mean like
But Chorif, it can, but Chaufi means early. Chaufi means early, but Atli means late. So, yeah, it comes up, for example, what is it, for example, I think when you have over there that Yaakov's sheep would love one over there, that you have the younger sheep went to Yaakov and the older sheep went to love one because Yaakov would put out the sticks over there with the peelings on them only when the young sheep, only when the fertile sheep are there. So I think the Targum actually translates the early ones as chorfon. I'm not sure about that. But whatever, the word chorfon meant early, and actually means late. But yeah, so if you have, let's say, if the pressing season begins a little earlier, a little later than usual, then the Rav Shimon Gamliel would say it's enough to do from one season to the next, and the Tanakhama is saying you need full 12 months.
Because according to one, you can run into a problem.
Right, right. Rav Yossi says you don't necessarily need to wait full 12 months. Haroitza l'tahar miyad, if you want to make them tahar right away, mag'ilan barois, sinasa, there you go, there's your boiling water. You can make hag'ala with boiling water. That'll get out whatever was absorbed in them right away. Oy chulton m'mezeithim, or another possibility, you can put them into hot, you can put them into hot olive liquid. Olive liquid is not oil per se, it's like the liquid, the sap that oozes out of olives. But whatever, you can heat that up and use that. It's not quite agola. You don't heat it up to 212 necessarily, but you heat it up enough that then you can put these things in it and it'll also get out whatever was absorbed. Another possibility, Rav Shimon Gamliel says in the name of Rav Yossi, the Rambam learns, by the way, and this is the halacha, these various opinions are not arguing with each other, they're just giving alternatives. If you don't mind waiting 12 months, then you can leave them 12 months. If you want them faster than that, you can do agola. And another possibility is you can put them under a water pipe where the water is flowing out of the pipe constantly. Or you put them into a spring that's constantly the water is flowing very fast, and you put them in there for enough time, 24 hours I think it is, and that's also enough. No, it's not 24 hours, but comma. How long do you have to leave them under this pipe or in this flow of water? Oina. You have to leave them for an oina. That's the reason why we're bringing it in the Gemara over here, to define an oina. And the Braita finishes up the same way as the Chachamim said, the same dinim that applies to cleaning them from Yayin Nesach, the same din applies as far as Taharis. If they were Talmud and you want to make them Taharis. What direction are you going in? That's backwards. The Braita, we started talking about the case where it was Talmud and you want to make them Taharis. Well, why are you saying this first applies to Yayin Nesach? Ella, you're right. You're right, you have to flip it around. The same way, all these dinim that apply to Taharis also apply to Yayin Nesach. If you have a wine press, or the various kalim of the wine press that have been used for Yayin Nesach previously, and now you want to start making kosher wine with it, so again, either you have to rinse them, or leave them, or do nigo for 12 months, or put them under a strong stream of water, or whatever, the same dinim would apply.
But there isn't a difference
between the one. Right. Okay. So we said the kama oina. Now, how long do you have to leave it there for an oina? And the question is the kama oina. How long is an oina for this purpose? Amar of Chiyah Ba'aba, Amar of Yechanan, oi yoim, oi laila. It means either one full daytime period or one full nighttime period. Rav Chana Sha'una, the Amulet of Chana Bar Sha'una, Amr Rav Baba Chana Amr Rav Yechanan, a little differently, Chatsi Yoim B'Chatsi Laila, half of the daytime and half of the night. And the Gemara says, Amr Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, V'loi Pligi, they're not actually arguing. These are two different versions of what Rav Yechanan said. There's no actual argument between them. Habit Kufas Nisin V'Tishrei, Habit Kufas Tamuz V'Tevis. It depends. Are we talking about Tkufas Nisin or Tkufas Tishrei, which are the equinoxes, when the day and night are exactly equal, 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of night, then one full daytime period or one full nighttime period is 12 hours. As opposed to if we're talking about Tkufas Tamuz or Tevis, then Tkufas Tamuz, the day is much longer than the night. Tkufas Tevis, the night is much longer than the day. So if you were to say the full daytime or the full nighttime, then it would be either too long or not enough. If you were to say, let's say, you would put it out, let's say, under the water over there, under the flowing water, during the nighttime of Tkufas Tamuz, that's only 9 or 10 hours. It's not long enough. So therefore, in that case, you'd need half of the day and half of the night, and that way you have it. So let's say, for example, Tkufas Tamuz in Eretz Yisrael, the day is approximately 14 hours, the night is approximately 10 hours. Good, so you do half of the daytime period is 7 hours, half the nighttime period is 10 hours, 7 plus 5 equals 12. So it's another way of expressing 12 hours.
So,
now that we understand that, now we get back to our question. So the question is, when it comes to nida, when it comes to the zinim of the besula over there, the first bitula when she's a bagera, an oina should be defined the same way, half a day and half a night, another 12 hours. What are you telling me? Not 18, yeah. Where are you getting the whole laila b'chafiyoyim kama? Rav Shimon Gamliel says a night and half a day. So that's 18 hours or so. Where are you getting that from? So the Gemara says, Ella, no, it can mean like this. What Rav Shimon Gamliel said means when he says Laila v'chatsiyon, he means e Laila the Nisim the Tishrei. He means either a full night of the kind of nights that you have in Nisim or Tishrei, which are 12 hours, e chatsiyon v'chatsi Laila the Tevis or Tammuz, or a half day plus a half night of the kind that you have during Tevis and Tammuz. In other words, it is the same definition as by Yayin Nesach, where it is 12 hours. He just expressed it in this way, Laila v'chatsiyon, meaning it could be a Laila, or it could be half of a Laila and half of a Yom, depending what time of year you're talking about.
Winter, the night is coming up.
During the winter in Eretz Yisrael, the night is approximately 14 hours, the day is 10. So therefore, so if you said Laila as a whole, then you would be misinterpreted, because a Laila during that time of year is 14 hours and you only have 12. So therefore, you have to instead define it as half of the night, meaning 7 hours plus 5 hours into the day, which is half the daytime, 7 plus 5 is 12. So he is saying the same thing, actually. Or another possibility, you could say maybe, in fact, Rav Shimon Gamliel does actually mean 18 hours. Why is an owner 18 hours when by Yayin Nesach we said it's only 12? Shiny ksuba demagdiba or demagdiba tfe. It's different when it comes to a ksuba because they check into it or they think into it very carefully. There's a few different explanations what this means exactly. One is that a ksuba has to be, Rashi explains, that a ksuba has to be very precise. They have to make sure they get every detail right. So therefore, what happens is, so in other words, let's say, for example, they got married. Now, the halacha is a husband and wife are not allowed to be together without a ksuba being written and signed and given to her. So you could have, let's say, they started the wedding earlier in the evening, but because it takes time to get every detail of a ksuba right, they wind up, let's say, it may end up until chatzos before they finally have a ksuba finished and delivered to the kala, and only then are she and her husband allowed to do the first relations. So therefore, that's why, So in principle, therefore, yes, she has 12 hours, but practically, usually the 12 hours would begin at the beginning of the night. But in practice, the first 6 hours of the night, they were still off limits to each other because they didn't have a ksuba signed yet. Therefore, they have half of the night. Therefore, they have the night plus half the day, because if it comes out that way, if the first time they were finally able to have the Be'ilas Mitzvah was at Chatzos HaLaila, for example, then the 12 hours, the clock begins then, and it continues until 12 o'clock the next day.
Which
would be there. So therefore, so that's what we're saying. We give her a full night and half of the next day. Not that in practice it's 18 hours since the Be'ilas Mitzvah. It's still 12 hours since the Be'ilas Mitzvah. It's 18 hours since the wedding began.
I thought it should have been done before even the day the wedding was finished.
Well, knowing that's how we do it nowadays, but yeah. There's a couple of other explanations about what it is exactly. On the side of here, it brings from the Aruch that it's not so much getting all the details of the ksuba right, it's that they bargain a lot about it. Nowadays, the ksuba is a pretty standard thing, but, you know, in principle, ksuba is supposed to be you're writing in there exactly what she's bringing in as a nadan, and exactly what the chosin is contributing, and so on and so forth. So you can have a whole lot of reeling and dealing with it. Yeah. You can have a lot of wheeling and dealing that can end up taking half the night. They tell, by the way, in that connection, they tell a story involving the Chozim of Lublin, that one time he was invited to a wedding. I think actually it's in Masada Kedushin, whatever. Yeah, he was invited to Masada Kedushin. That he took a very long time davening mincha, and they were curious how come. And later on, he explains, you have a Gemara in Shabbos that says, Lech ksuba de l'romi batzigra. Inevitably, every ksuba, every marriage, there's always some arguing, and why is that? He says, because Min HaShemayim, it's decided not just that this man and woman should get married, but also exactly when it should happen. And of course, people don't have Ruach HaKodesh, so therefore they don't necessarily, when they print up the invitations, they don't know the exact time that was decided Milamayla, when they should actually be getting married. So they put whatever time is convenient for them, and Milamayla caused that, you know, some, so there'll be some delay or other. Usually the delay takes a form of that there's arguments between the chassid and the kallah side exactly what should be done. So the chassid says, I knew that the time that was decided milamayla for this wedding hadn't actually come yet, so I figured better let's fill it up with davening mincha barichos rather than it should be, have to be filled up with arguments between the chassid and kallah. Okay. So that's the point. In other words, that in principle it is actually 12 hours, but if you count from the beginning of the wedding, which started at the beginning of the night, then it could be then it seems like 18 hours. But in practice, from the Be'ilas Mitzvah, it's only 12 hours. I guess not. I mean, you have Gemara in other places that discuss there wasn't even they didn't even have the minhag in all places that they actually have a written ksuba. There were places where they were just so much on the takana of the Chachamim that there exists a ksuba, there exists that the husband has to give his wife 100 if she's not a besula and 200 if she is, and they were just so much on that and didn't actually write out a ksuba. Yeah. Okay, continuing on this topic, Rav and Shmuel da Amitazayu, Rav and Shmuel both say, the bottom line halacha is, boil be'ilas mitzvah potash. The bottom line halacha is, whether he gives mana or not he gives mana, you have the be'ilas mitzvah, and then that's it, you have to withdraw.
Doesn't matter the age, doesn't matter the number.
But you actually have some of the Rishonim, the Rivet, for example, the Rivet holds, and Rishonim bring him, that when we say over here potash, it would actually mean that he would have to wait until he goes limp and then withdraw, just as if she was Roya Machmas Tashmish. Now, we know there is a din, we learned it in Shavuos, that if a woman starts bleeding during Tashmish, then he's not allowed to withdraw while he's erect. Because you see, also, Hanala could be also, he has the same pleasure going out as going in, he has to wait until it goes soft and only then. The Ravid holds, that would be the din over here. Most of the other Rishonim disagree with him and say the fact of the matter is we are machmir on Dam B'Sulim for a couple of reasons, which we'll talk about in a second. Nevertheless, we're not machmir so much to the extent that he has to do that. He can withdraw with an Eberchai. The reason why we're machmir, by the way, a couple of Rishonim give different possibilities. One is because there might in fact be Dam Nida or Dam Chimud mixed in with it, and you're not sure. Chimud, but you could have damnid also. Okay, but nevertheless, it can happen that it happens sometimes irregularly. The Rosh gives a different reason, though. The Rosh says it's not because we're worried about dam chimud or dam nido or anything like that. It's because the fact of the matter is that you have these different distinctions over here between, we're saying, whether she's of age or below age, whether she's had periods or not. The fact of the matter is, you have everybody gets married. Not everybody is familiar with all these dinim and all the permutations of them. On top of that, you also have, I mean, Chosin, you know, has a tremendous taiva for his wife, and it's the first time together, after all. So he's likely to start cutting corners with the halachas and say, you know, she was roya before, so, you know, I can still get away with it or whatever. So therefore, the Chachamim made a uniform rule. Most of Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says, I have a contradiction. You're telling me you only have Be'ilas Mitzvah. We said on Amud Aleph, Ma'aseh V'Nosin LaRebbe Dalad Leilas Mitzvah Yud Beis Chodesh. We have the case where Rebbe allowed her four times within 12 months. So we see that it was much more than Be'ilas Mitzvah. Amar Le Rabba says on the side, so Rabba says to him, Haduri Apir Cholomli, what do you have to go looking around for places to ask a question from? You ask them from this Braise, which not everybody knows. Oh, you see from that Mitzvah. Why don't you just ask for more Mishnah? Yes. The answer is, Husava Maiser Rab. Yes, but Rav Chisda held that it's a stronger question if you ask from an actual case that was Paskin. Maiser Rab, the fact that it was actually Paskin that way means it's not just a theoretical din, but it was actually Paskin that way in practice. So he figured that's a stronger question. Okay. Mikol Makom L'Rav Shmuel Kasha. Anyway, the bottom line is it's Kasha and Rav and Shmuel. They're saying that you only have Be'ilas Mitzvah, and we see from the Mishnah and from the Braise that you have much more than that. The answer is, Inhu de Ovdu Kurabe Seinu. Yes, but in that halacha, in this track, Rav and Shmuel are following Rabbi Seinu. The Tanya, we learn in a Braise, Rabbi Seinu, Chozru Benimnu. Rabbi Seinu, the Chachamim of some generation, they changed it in. Chozru Benimnu. They sat down and re-voted about it. Boil Be'ilas Mitzvah or Purish. That you can only do Be'ilas Mitzvah, and then you have to stop. In Shulchan Aruch, by the way, it brings up a point. What happens if the first time they have relations there was no blood? Does he still have to be Polish after that? So the Ramah draws a distinction. If he wasn't Goymer Biyasa, if he only did Hara and there was no blood, fine. So then you can be Makel and allow if they can try again. But if he did Gemar Bia, even if there was no blood, we say there's a very likely, there's a very high likelihood that there was a little bit of blood and just it disappeared or got covered with Sheikh Vazera or whatever, and then you still have to be part of the Shem. Okay. Omar Ula. Ula says in this connection, Ki havu bo Rabbi Yochanan v'Rish Lakish b'tinoikis. When Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish were learning, were delving into Or Perek, which is the title of Or Perek, is Tinoikis, because that's the first word of it, Loi havu maski mina, they did not bring out practical halachas from it, elaki de masik talamid de parva, only as much as a fox brings up from a plowed field. In other words, so what happens if a fox walks through a field that was plowed? What does he bring out from the field with him? Just a little dirt, just a little dirt that sticks to his feet. The same way when Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish were learning on Mishnah, they couldn't derive any practical halachas from it. Because all the distinctions we make in our Mishnah are not done as practical halacha. So they would finish off when they're teaching this Mishnah, Hochi, like this, Boyo Be'ilas Mitzvah or Kodesh. The practical matter is you only have Be'ilas Mitzvah, and right after that you have to withdraw. So everything that's said in our Mishnah, all the distinctions between whether she's of age, below age, whatever, or not, Negei Lala. By that logic, if you're saying that you only have the Ilas Mitzvah, Baal Nefesh La Yigma B'yasei, maybe a Baal Nefesh, maybe somebody who's extra careful with halacha, should not even be Goymer the Bia, maybe he should only do Hara, just enough like to break the Basulim and no more than that, and then immediately stop.
No,
Baal Nefesh means somebody who's extra careful with his Neshama.
What would be the expression for someone's heavy bowel something else?
Bowel buster. So Baal Nefesh leave him. Omale, Rav Ashi says, don't do that. In came libo noik for your Polish. Then if you're going to do that, then he's going to be so nervous that he might completely stay out and he might not even do the bia at all, or he might not even break the basulim, and then that's that correct. So don't do that. Don't be more machmer in these things than you need to. Okay. We learn in a braisa. The kulon show you shoyfes damu boris mitzvah dalad leilas va'acha dalad leilas. Now we said in the Mishnah, again going back to the original din in the Mishnah, that you have in a certain case she has 4 nights where we consider that it's still damu sulim, and after that we consider it dam nida. So what happens if, so for example, you have the case where she was old enough to start having periods, but she hasn't yet before she got married. Then we said we allow her 4 nights. So suppose what happens is, suppose she's bleeding continuously from the 4 nights until after them. So now on the 5th night, they're having relations. She's still bleeding, but it's continuous. It's not like it stopped at some point. It's been continuous.
Why is it doing more than 4 nights for?
Because that's the thing. So we're saying she has 4 nights where it's considered dam solim. So if it stopped at some point after that, sure, then any blood after that is dam nida. But here with continuously bleeding, so then maybe it's still dam solim. Or mitoich halayla la'achar halayla, or it's continuing from the first night until nights after that. This is when Ross Tabavei Sabia, Rebbe Tzibul says she has the entire first night. So again, the same idea. If she's bleeding continuously from then until after that, all of them have to check themselves to see whether the blood is different, to see whether it's dam nida versus dam solim.
Different colors we learned about.
Well, one second. With all of these cases, Rav Meir is machmir like Bet Shammai, that in the case of that when does the 4 nights apply, not like Bet Hillel says where she's old enough to have periods, but rather where she's below the age of having periods. That was where Bet Shammai says she has only 4 nights. So Rav Meir would apply that din to that. And the same thing, the 1 night if she is of age. Ush'ar re'iyas, Shemain Bet Shammai, Bet Hillel holach ha'chamar adam. So he says, when she's not continuously bleeding, so when you have, for example, the time during which she's already, we consider any further bleeding would be dam nida, according to Bet Shammai, and it's still dam besulam, according to Bet Hillel, when it comes to those, says Reb Meir, holach acha mara dam. What you need to do is go according to the color of the blood, because there will be a difference. Shahoyer Reb Meir, because Reb Meir used to say, mara dam in mishunin hein zemizeh. The different kinds of blood, dam nida versus dam besulam, look different. Case bad, how are they different? Dam nida odom, blood of nida is bright red. Dam besulam ain't an odom, blood from besulam is not quite so red, it's more pinkish or whatever. Also, dam besulam ain't a zihum, blood, sorry, dam nida zihum, blood of nida is zihum, which means it's dirty or smelly or whatever, it has a certain something to it that dam basulim does not. Dam basulim ain't a zihum, whereas blood of basulim is not. Dam nida, bamin amakar, blood of nida comes from the actual womb. Dam basulim bamin asdodim, whereas blood of basulim comes from the sides, because that's where the hymen is attached, to the sides of the vagina over there.
You can see where it's come
from. The Gemara is going to mention soon a bedikka that you do in a different context for that. But yeah, the Rameyer says you're able to tell the difference. It's interesting, by the way, this Braisa that we just brought, this opinion of Rameyer and the Braisa, is the last line of the Yerushalmi of Nida that we have. There's a Gemara Yerushalmi on Nida. We only have it in print for the first three prokim of Nida, and then one line of the fourth parak, or two lines of the fourth parak. That is quoting this Braisa over here. Apparently, there used to exist more of it. Tosfos, in fact, on the next Amud, brings something from the seventh parak of Amasach, from the Yerushalmi. So Tosfos apparently had a manuscript of the Yerushalmi that covered, if not the entire Nida, at least the first seven parakim. But unfortunately, we've lost. We only have the first three parakim and two lines of the fourth parak. That's Rav Meir. That's only according to Rav Meir that you can actually do that bedikah and be able to tell the difference. Chachamim say that they all look the same, or maybe they don't all actually physically look the same, but as far as halacha is concerned, they're all the same. You can't rely on that kind of bedikah. So therefore, so what it is, in other words, like this. We have the machlokas with Shammai Bitzul in the Mishnah. According to Beth Shammai, for example, when during the case when she has four nights, then that's it. Four nights and that's it, period. Even if it continues after that continuously, we still say she's tummy. According to Beth Shammai, the four nights is when she's a tummy. Whereas Bitzul would say, when we say that there's, when Bitzul would say that, Vitzil would say that in a case like that, she has ad shekichya amaka, so we don't care what colors it is or whatever, because she's a kana, therefore she has until it completely heals. Rav Meir takes a little bit of a middle ground. Rav Meir is saying, if it wasn't continuous, then we have Beit Shammai's opinion that after four nights, then that's it, it's over. But if it was continuous, then he says, then you look at the color of it and see whether the color is still the same or whether it changed. And if it's still the same, if it still has the color of Dam Basulim and the consistency of Dam Basulim or whatever, then we can assume it's still Dam Basulim.
But if it's Dam Basulim and after 4 days, why is she allowed to continue?
According to Beth Shammai, she's not. According to the mayor, if it's still the same color, then it's obviously still Dam Basulim. Because if it was Dam Nida, it would now be a different color and a different consistency and whatever.
Which means so she's reallowed, she's allowed more.
So therefore they're allowed, so therefore it comes out according to the mayor. Yeah, as long as it's continuously bleeding, then yeah, she'd be allowed more.
Right. And we don't worry about Dam Nida because it would be different.
Because it would be different color and different consistency in there, yeah.
And check, the law doesn't mean which she's, I mean, she's just speaking to her,
maybe it means she brings it to her dog, or maybe it means she checks it herself, I don't know.
Check yourself, yes, it's could great.
Be.
Difference.
Yeah, could be. Okay. Put it up on. Haroya Dam Machmas Tashmish. Now let's talk about the case. Leaving aside Dam Basulim, now let's talk about a case. A woman has relations with her husband, and when she does, then blood comes out.
It's interesting how the Gemara brings down the lach, and then it can talk, go back into...
Yeah. Sometimes that is, yeah. Okay. Haroya Dam Machmas Tashmish. If you have a woman who's seeing blood as a result of Tashmish, so the din is Meshameshes Pam Rishonu Shniyo Shlishes. She's still allowed to have relations with her husband after this is discovered the first three times. Mikan Ba'elach. But after that, like the Shamash Atshkarish, she's not allowed to have relations with him again. They have to get divorced. Now, obviously, you know, nowadays, you should go to a doctor, you should go to a gynecologist, and he'd find out. Like I was going to mention later, similar kinds of things where you have reasons to can find out, for example, that there's something that's causing her to bleed, and therefore maybe you can get rid of it. Like I was going to mention an example of that soon.
So when he says that one or two or three times, it means doing it and having customers and waiting. Thinking that maybe it's needed,
they're waiting. No. What it means is, in other words, what it means is like this. So they have relations the first time. She discovers blood. And by the way, the Rishonim say that we're talking about only if she did the begikta immediately after the tashmish and found blood. If she checked, 5 minutes later or whatever and found blood, then there's not such a chash, because then not necessarily did it even happen during tashmish at all. With that said, though, we learned near the beginning of the Masechta, we learned in the first and second perek about the concept that we have was an aid that he uses to wipe himself. So if blood is found on his aid, then it doesn't matter how much later, because it obviously came from her. If it came from him, then it means he has a sore and he'd know about it. So it's either he finds it on his aid sometime later, or she finds it on her aid immediately after. Immediately, we said in the second paragraph, like the amount within the amount of time that it would take to get out of bed and rinse herself off, whatever. Yeah. Then you have a problem of roya machnas tashmish. So now, what happens is, if that happens the first time, okay, so fine. She cleans herself up. She goes. She counts the number of clean days. Goes to the mikveh, whatever. They can try again. Yeah, she's a nida, obviously, but because it came from the uterus. But nevertheless, fine. No. It came machnas tashmish, but came from the womb. So therefore, yeah. So fine. She goes to the mikveh, et cetera, and then they try again. If it happens the second time, same thing. Third time. So now, after the third time, they would have to get divorced. Between Nosila Acher, at that point, she could get married to somebody else. Because, as the Gemara is going to mention soon, Ein Kolos, Bois, Shavos, not all the fingers, which is a nice way of saying the Aver, are the same size or whatever, and therefore her second husband may not have the same effect on her. Nisus La'achar, she marries then a second man, V'ros Adam Machnas Tashmish, and again, she starts seeing blood Machnas Tashmish, M'shamesh Tam Rishonu Shni Rishlishis, again, they can do it three times without before it becomes a Chazaka, Mikan V'Elach, then she's not allowed to have relations with him anymore. Now she has to get divorced, and she can marry a third husband. After that, in order for her to have relations anymore, she will need to do a certain kind of checking. To check, well, she has to do a checking of herself to see where is this blood coming from. Now, the Gemara is going to ask soon, in that case, why does she have to go through three husbands before we can do this? Why can't she do this? So we'll discuss that point soon. So Kate said, by Dekatatat, what kind of checking, what kind of self-examination does she do? Mevia Shveferes, she takes a tube, over Secha Mikhail, within that tube she places an applicator, which is like a long skinny stick, like the kind you use to put on eyeshadow or whatever. You can put it inside the umoich monach al roshay, and then on the tip of the applicator, on the tip of the stick, you put some moich, you put some soft cotton or some rags or whatever, something that will absorb blood. So now you have, in other words, you come out with something looking sort of like a tampon. It's got hard sides and it's got the soft thing on top. Then she sticks it in there. If then, when she puts it in and takes it out, she finds blood on the end of the moich, then we know the blood is coming from the womb, because that's coming, it's on the end of it. So obviously, if there's no blood on the top of the moich, then we know that all this time the blood has been coming from the sides of the vaginal wall. So then she's told her, blood from the sides is not metamic, or only from the womb.
What's doing the
side of
the
exactly? It could happen. She has a sore there. She has
for a few months.
Yeah, it could be. She has a sore or something over there. Okay. The im yesh lamaka pa'osimokim, continues the Braisa, if this woman has a wound or something in osimokim, in the uterus, tola v'makosa, then she can attribute the blood to that wound, and therefore we don't have to go through this whole thing of divorcing her various husbands, because then we can assume that the blood is coming from that. A number of the poskim, well, she feels, a person can feel, but a number of them are frozen say, it's not just enough to say that she has a wound over there, she actually has to feel if blood is coming from that rather than from the rest of her uterus.
Feel or no?
Yeah, that's how she feels, yeah. The im yesh la vest, tola bevesta. What happens also, if she has a vest, then she can attribute it to her vest. What does that mean? Rashi explains, now you can have a case, let's say, where not every time she has relations with her husband, she bleeds. Let's say, for example, it's only at intervals. So let's say, for example, every third time they have relations, then she bleeds. So fine, then she can attribute the blood to that. Then she doesn't have to necessarily divorce her husband, her first or second husband, and she doesn't need this bedikta between times. Every third time, let's say she would need this bedikta. Yeah. The Rambam learns it differently. The Rambam learns that what it means is, let's say we're talking to a woman who has a vest kavura. She has, let's say, that she's known that she every 30 days or every 15th of the month or whatever. So if, suppose that she and her husband had relations close to that time, and she bled, then she can attribute it to that. As opposed to, and then she just, we don't have to assume that she's really a machna tashmish. So let's say, for example, it's every 30 days, and let's say they have relations on the 20th day or something, then she doesn't have to worry about it because there's no reason to think that she's going to bleed then. She can attribute, the last couple of times we had relations, I bled, but those were all sabuch levesta. Those were all shortly before my expected vest, whereas this one is not.
So if it's within 2 days, let's say.
The imhoisa dam makosa mashuna midam riyosa, on the other hand, what happens if blood from a wound by her is different than the color of regular blood from her uterus in the toilet, and she can't attribute this blood to that because it's a different color.
The makosa would be obvious.
So in other words, let's say you have the makosa, let's say, produces, let's say, darker red blood, and her regular period produces bright red blood. So if she has bright red blood from roya makosa sashmish, then it can't be from the makosa. But then it would be dark red.
We said before that the period is more of a darker.
We said that's compared to dam mesulin. But I'm saying that you can have within a particular woman that dam makosa is one color and dam riyosa is a different color. We do believe a woman to say that I have an injury in my womb that blood is coming out of it. This is what Rebbe said. Rashi explains that the Divrei Rebbe is referring only to this last statement. The rest of the Braisa, says Rashi, would be according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. Because according to Rebbe, two times is enough to make a chazaka. So why are we saying each time three times? So it has to be the earlier part of the Braisa, says Rashi, is not according to Rebbe. Tosfos says that no. So you would say that only the last part that we believe a woman to say, that Maka Yeshu B'Maka, would be according to Rebbe.
Only according to Rebbe when she said it well.
That she can say that I have a wound over there and it's bleeding. But the rest of the Braisa says Rashi would be according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. The rest of the Braisa, the whole part about she was married to her first husband and she bled three times during that. The whole Braisa beginning from that. Tosfos says not necessarily. Maybe even Rebbe would agree with this kind of thing that you need three times for Chazak. Usually Rebbe would say twice is enough, but for this kind of thing, he would say three.
But why three husbands?
Yeah, that's right. Well, because that's, yeah. Because you need a chazaka within that. That's what Gemara is going to say. Because in Kolos Boris Shavit, once you have three husbands where each one has a different size etzva, and still, yeah. That's one second. Okay. Continues the Braith. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Dam Maka Abomin HaMakor Tomei. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, blood of a wound that comes from the uterus is Tomei. Whereas Rabbi Seinu said that no, blood that comes from a wound in the uterus is tahor. So the Gemara says, my binai, what's the actual argument between them? What is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel versus Rabbi Seinu arguing about? The argument between them is a point that we've discussed a few times in our Masechta. Is the uterus itself a source of tumah such that any blood that comes through it, even if it's not from the uterus itself, is tumah? Not that it's matame or tumah nida, but is it tumah? Does it make her tumah tumah erev? Just that she has to go to the mikveh and she's tahor that evening without having to wait 7 clean days. So Rav Shimon Gamliel holds yes, and Rabbi Seinu holds that no. Okay. So now the question is, first of all, Shreferes, what do you mean she's using a tube? The Pashtos, in those days, a tube was made out of wood or out of a piece of bamboo or something. The problem with it is it has sharp edges. If Guri Maskarola isn't going to scratch her as she puts it in, so then blood is going to come out, and we're going to think that she's Roya, and really it's blood that's coming from an injury. So Shmuel says, you're right. You were not talking about a wooden or bamboo or whatever tube. She uses a lead tube, because lead is smooth. The pastures can be any kind of metal. And what you do is you bend the edges, the top edges of it inward, because you don't want to have the edges, the top edges of it are going to be on a scratcher. So you bend them inward, and then you put in the mikro, and you put it there, and you put the moich on top.
Even
if you stand it down, it's still going to be able to scratch her. So no, the better thing to do is bend it inward, bend the edges inward. But pashtus also, that's why the Gemara is mentioning lead, because, I mean, it could be any metal, but other kinds of metal, it might be harder to bend them inward. Lead is soft. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, right. I mean, again, in modern terms, I guess the equivalent would be using a tampon, let's say. Okay. Alma later shlokish lo v'yechanan, so the shlokish after v'yechanan. Why does she have to go through three husbands before she can do this bedikah? The tibdik after v'yoshlishis shabalarishin. Why can't she do the same bedikah using the tube, etc., after the third time that she has relations with the first husband, and that way they want to get divorced? Alma later fisha in kolayis boys shabbos. So he says, because not all its boys are the same. So Rashi learns, in other words, like this. We don't allow her to rely on the bedikah unless we have no other alternative. So like this, there is an alternative, so she can get married to a second husband. We don't want her to rely on the bedikah because, after all, she may not do it carefully enough. And the fact is, if she gets married to a second husband, the whole issue may not even come up because he may have a smaller or different shape or whatever esra that won't cause blood to come out, and therefore we would prefer to do that rather than having her rely on this bedikah, which is not 100% foolproof.
I guess those days it says you go to a doctor to check up for a doctor.
If you could, but I mean they didn't necessarily have the medical expertise to do that. Yeah, the Smag already talks about that possibility that maybe she could go to a doctor, but yeah, Smag, one of the Rishonim. Yeah. Tosfos learns the question differently. Tosfos learns the question is not that why she shouldn't be allowed to do it after the first husband. The question is, why shouldn't we require to do this after the third time with the first husband, where she still roya machna tashmish three times? Why don't we require her to do this bedikah to see whether the blood is coming from the uterus or from the sides? So, in other words, according to Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos, if she wants to do it at that point, sure, she could. The question is why we don't require her to. And the answer is, therefore, that let's say she doesn't know how to, or she doesn't want to, or whatever, then the alternative is that she can marry a second husband. After three times with three different husbands, then there's no choice. She has to do this bedikah. Okay.
People just get married also.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. So the question is, Omalei, so he asks him, the tibdik asked him of a beer to shonish a baal shlishi. In that case, then why doesn't she do the bedikah after the first time with the third husband? So again, Rashi learns that the question is basically, okay, you're going to say in kol etzboi is shobe, it's fine, but after all, by the time she gets to the third husband, it's different kinds of etzboi, and yet it's happening every time. So after the first time with the third husband, we should require her to do this bedikah rather than taking the chance with two more times. According to Tosfos, the question is basically the same as the previous one. Why don't we allow her to do the bedikah at that point? Why are we telling her wait till after the third time before you do the bedikah?
By
the third husband. And the answer is Omalei Lefisha Lefi. Not Omalei. The reason is Lefisha in Kolak Koyches Shabbos, because not all of the koyach is the same time either. When a couple has relations, not every time does it go in with the same force and the same depth and whatever. So even with the third husband, it might be that it's a fluke. It might be it's one time yes and one time not. But only after it happens three times, only then do we start with this bedikah. Okay. Gemara tells the case, Rebbe. There was a case, a woman came to Rebbe with this problem. She was roya machnas tashmish. Avdon. So Rebbe tells his Talmud, Avdon, zil ba'osa, go frighten her. Do something to make her have a sudden fright. Also ba'osa, so Avdon does that. He does something to that. The nothing went a chararas dam. A cake of blood came out of her. The fright caused. So Rebbe says, good, she's been healed. That was the problem the whole time. The reason why she was roya machnas tashmish every time is because there was caked up blood inside her. So every time she and her husband were having relations, it was causing a little bit of blood to come out of that. Now that it fell out, that's it. She's cured, and now there won't be a problem anymore. Yeah. On the other hand, on the other hand, there was a woman who came to Mar Shmuel with the same problem. So he says to Rav Dimi bar Yosef, one of his Talmidim, go scare her. Also, he went and scared her. Nothing fell out. So Shmuel says, in this case, we have a problem. She gets full up of blood in her uterus and then starts scattering it when she has relations. In other words, having relations with her husband causes there's a pool of blood in there, and now it causes some of the blood comes out. Yeah. In that case, there's no takana. There's nothing we can do about it, because in that case, then, you know, as long as that pool of blood is there and it didn't even come out by scaring her, then...
That's because of the case she holds it in. Some people hold it in.
No. One of the Rishonim, I think the Ran says, in that case, at this point, maybe is where you could do the bedikah involving the tube over there and see whether it is in fact coming from the womb or whether it's coming from the sides. When he says ain't takana, we just means in terms of like, you know, we don't have like with the case with the Rebbe where you have a one time thing, we scare her and that's it. There was a case of a woman who came to Rabbi Yechanan with a problem. The whole emes to have a sulkum, it's vilas mitzvah. Whenever she was coming out of the mikveh, she went to the mikveh and was coming back into town. Have a kachaz yodama. Now she's seeing blood. So when's she ever going to be mutter to her husband? So Rabbi Yechanan tells her, shema dimas irich also bich. What may have happened is the dima of your city may have entered into you. What is dima? Rashi explains like this. The other women in town are very jealous of you, maybe. You have a very close, loving relationship with your husband, and they, therefore, dima means, Rashi explains, means talking. They talk, they talk against you, and therefore, in other words, it's causing an ayin hara. So maybe that's the problem. You're being affected by their ayin hara, and therefore that's preventing you and your husband from having relations. So what happens? Therefore, go have relations with him right there by the riverbank where you went to the mikveh. So like, you know, set up a little tent or whatever and do it right there before you get back into town. And that way the women won't have a chance to know what's going on and that you're, you know, they're not going to be talking behind your back. Look at this, you know, she's going back to her husband who loved her so much, was so jealous of her, et cetera, and causing that ayin hara is going to cause her a problem. Ika to Omar. Another version of what he tells her is Amala Tigali Lachabrisech. The second version is he tells her there are Mephoshim who mentioned an interesting point that the problem was, we were saying, maybe she had, just like we said before, that there can be a vest agurk and there can be a vest involving that she ate spicy foods or whatever. Maybe she has a vest that's triggered by going to the mitzvah. So he tells her that, and he tells her the problem apparently is not the going to the mikveh itself. The problem is when you get back into town to have relations before you get back into town. And that way, there's no time for the trigger to take effect.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it said going to mikveh, go to Nahar.
No, the Nahar was the usual place where women were cycling. Ikadamri, another version of what Rabbi Yochanan tells her, Amalo, he says to her, Tigali lechavrisich. On the contrary, tell your friends what's going on. Every time you go to the mikveh, you're then bleeding afterwards. Ki heichid tehevu aloch lahach gisa, nishavu aloch lahach gisa. This way, the same way as up until now they were on one side, now they're going to be on the other side. What does that mean? Rashi says, up until now, they were jealous of you. They were saying, look how close, or look what a close relationship she has with her husband. We're jealous, we don't have that. Now, on the contrary, they're going to start thinking to themselves when she has this problem. Look at this, her husband must hate her. You know, he's looking forward to having relations with her, and therefore they won't be as jealous of you anymore in that way. It'll take away the ayin hara. The Aruch gives a different, Tosfos brings from the Aruch a different explanation. Like this, up until now, they were thinking like this. What it is like this. Again, they caused with their ayin hara that you were separated from your husband. You tell them what's going on. You tell them, actually, I'm a woman who has much more dam nida than normal. Now, we learned at the end of the previous parak, kol isha shadameha merubin b'neha merubin, the more blood a woman has, the more children she's going to have. So now that'll cause that now their ayin hara is going to go the other way. They're going to say, now we're jealous of her. She has so much dam. She's going to have so many children. Let's give her an ayin hara, and then she'll have less blood. Less blood means she won't bleed after she goes to the mikveh, and then she'll be able to be with her husband. So like reverse psychology, kind of. Wow. Yeah. The ikka d'ama, a third version of what Rabbi Yechanan told her is,
this topic, if you remember, I mean, I looked this again after the end of Kol Yisrael, Kananya and the guy, another guy came out live.
Oh, Kananya Mishra, you're talking about Yeshua Kohen Gadol, with Achav and Dittia,
We don't hear about them.
So they died from Ayin Hara, right.
This is similar.
Ayin Hara is a very powerful thing, The Ika de Omar, a third version of what Rabbi Yochanan told her, Amalak Gali Lechavroisech, he tells her, tell your friends what's going on, Ki Hechid Yilivu Aloch Rachman. This way they'll daven for Rachmanas from Hashem for you. In other words, according to the third version, they're not malicious about it. They're just, you know, they're you know, people tend to be jealous of each other. But if they know you're having such a serious problem for months on end, you can't be with your husband, then they'll have Rachmanas and daven for you. The Tanya, as in fact we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says about a Mitzvah, of a Tomei Tomei Yikra, he should call out Tomei Tomei, means Tzorech Lodiyah Fire L'Rabim. He has to, and now it's not just to that people should know to stay away because he's Tomei. It's also that he has to inform the public of his prayer, V'Rabim of Akshon Malabrachim, and this way everybody will daven for him to be healed. So the same way, you tell your friends what's going on, and they'll daven for you that you should be healed from this. We'll stop over here.
Okay.
Yeah.